Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Sean Levy, who's written biographies of Robert De Niro, Paul Newman, and Jerry Lewis, among others, and now he's written the biography of a building, The Castle on Sunset, Life, Death, Art, and Scandal at Hollywood's Chateau Marmont. Sean, for years, I've had this morbid curiosity with the Chateau Marmont because it's where John Belushi died of an overdose in 1982. But when someone asks you, what's the Chateau Marmont, what's your answer?
To me, it's one of the hearts of Hollywood. It's traditionally been the bohemian hotel where a lot of New Yorkers and Europeans stayed who wanted to work in Hollywood but didn't want to, quote-unquote, go Hollywood. And it's been a kind of haven for misfits and iconoclasts and rebels and freaks. It's very discreet, and it's also very beautiful.
It's right on the Sunset Strip, so can you kind of describe what the Sunset Strip is in relation, or where it is in relation to Hollywood in general, where we think of the movie productions?
You know, the Sunset Strip is not part of Los Angeles City. It's an unincorporated, well, previously unincorporated, now it's West Hollywood. But it's county land between the city of Los Angeles and the city of Beverly Hills. And because it was part of neither city, it operated as a kind of lawless zone for many years. When the Chateau Marmont was built, the Sunset Strip was an unpaved road. And in the following decade, the 1930s, Hollywood nightclubs started to appear. It was a place of speakeasies and casinos and brothels, you know, sort of under the radar. And in the 50s and 60s, it became one of the great centers of teen culture in the United States. The beatnik style, kids on motorcycles were there in the 50s, the Googie drive-in diners, and then in the 60s, you had the great rock clubs. The Sunset Strip was like the Las Vegas Strip. It was crowded with people going from club to club, watching some of the greatest music acts of all time. The Byrds, The Doors, The Mamas and the Papas, Love, Buffalo Springfield. All these bands were like house bands on that road.
So where's it at from the Whiskey A Go-Go?
Whiskey A Go-Go is down the strip from Chateau Marmont. It's a little closer to the Beverly Hills end. And they started, that was the first discotheque in America. It was the first place where, rather than live music, you would go to hear somebody spin records, and there were dedicated dancers to sort of, you know, get people moving, and they became known as go-go dancers after the club, the Whiskey A Go-Go.
So where did the name Chateau Marmont come from?
Well, the man who built the place, Fred Horowitz, was a downtown L.A. lawyer, and he had seen a chateau in France that he wanted to replicate, the Chateau d'Amboise in the Loire Valley. It's where, among other things, Leonardo da Vinci is buried. And he hired his brother-in-law, who was an architect, and he knocked up a replica of it. And they didn't have a name for it. They thought of calling it the Chateau Sunset, the Chateau Hollywood, and it happens to be on a tiny little street called Marmont Lane, which, of all things, was named for the English actor Percy Marmont, who appears in a lot of early Alfred Hitchcock movies. So it's fake French named for an English actor. It's perfect for L.A.
Well, you mentioned Fred Horowitz, the lawyer. He built it, but it was really Albert Smith who turned this into an iconic place, right?
That's true. Fred Smith had never operated an apartment house, and he built the place as an apartment house, which gave it some of the features that made it so private. It didn't have a lobby, a restaurant, a bar, a pool. It didn't have, you know, a grand entry. You entered through a parking garage. But Fred Horowitz also opened the building in early 1929, and at the end of that year, the stock market crashed. Nobody was looking for a luxury apartment building on an unpaved road in Southern California. So he sold the thing off in 1932 to Albert Smith, who was one of the founders of Vitagraph Pictures, one of the very first movie studios. And Smith knew right away that there was more business to be done with, say, movie people and people who wanted to come, in particular, to the 1932 Olympics than with permanent residence. So he turned it into a hotel, and it's been a hotel for almost 90 years.
So as the early tenants are coming in, it wasn't necessarily Hollywood celebrities right away, right?
No, no. In fact, Smith sort of piggybacked on what Horowitz had decided to do. He was trying to lease apartments to kind of society people from San Diego and Pasadena and Santa Barbara who might want a little place in town. For apartments, they're tiny. You know, they're two rooms with a kitchenette. They're huge for hotel rooms. But that was Horowitz's model. Smith thought, well, let's see if there's other people who might want to stay here. And because he had connections to the movie business, he was able to start attracting people who were in town to make films.
Was it ever considered necessarily a don't ask, don't tell kind of place, like a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Yeah, it's kind of always had that reputation. And you know, most hotels do, and in fact, most hotels that cater to show people in particular have that sort of policy. Chateau Marmont, again, because of the physical features of the place, offered more privacy than even most luxury hotels could offer. And starting in 1940, it was owned by a man named Erwin Brettauer, who had fled Germany with a fortune. He was a banker who saw the Nazis coming and got his assets out of the country. And he was a staunch anti-fascist. He funded the efforts of the government that Hitler ousted to regain power. He hosted the ex-president of Germany when he was in exile and writing his memoirs. He lived in Brettauer's home. And Brettauer insisted that his hotel be a place of tolerance, to the point that Chateau Marmont was the first hotel in the showbiz end of Los Angeles, Hollywood, West Hollywood, and Beverly Hills, to be racially integrated. Brettauer was very surprised to learn that there was a color barrier, and he declared that his hotel would be open to everyone.
And not just racial integration, Anthony Perkins stayed there because he was a closeted homosexual at the time, right?
You know, it allowed all people who wanted to be themselves to be themselves while they were staying there. Erwin Brettauer, in addition to many other things, built the swimming pool at Chateau Marmont in 1948, and the hotel didn't have a bar, didn't have a restaurant, didn't have a nice lobby where you could lounge around, so the swimming pool became the social center, and it's Hollywood, there's lots of young, attractive people, and a lot of men stayed there, and a lot of gay men stayed there, and Tony Perkins was a bisexual young man from New York in Hollywood making his first film. And one afternoon, he met Tab Hunter, who was a very popular young actor and singer at the time. And Tab lived in Southern California, but he used to stop by Chateau Marmont to take a dip after he'd been riding horses in the San Fernando Valley. And the two of them met poolside, and they became lovers, and they were together for a couple of years.
I'm chatting with Sean Levy about his new book, The Castle on Sunset, Life, Death, Love, and Art, and Scandal at Hollywood's Chateau Marmont. Sean, the number of celebrities who've stayed there is countless, and you tell all sorts of stories in the book, but as you researched these stories, did you find some to be nothing more than legend rather than fact?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them. I mean, you know, this is the case with every book you ever try to write. You know, you go in thinking, oh, I know this about this, and then you find out that, no, that's not true. In this case, there had long been rumors that Greta Garbo owned the hotel. Really, she only stayed there a couple of times. The story that they tell is that Led Zeppelin rode their motorcycles through the lobby. Well, you can't get a motorcycle into the lobby of Chateau Marmont, and if you could, your ride would be about 30 feet. You know, things like that. And they span the generations. Rock Hudson meeting a boyfriend who's aunt was the general manager, not true, you know, again and again. So it's helpful to find the stories that aren't true because they let you triangulate a little bit and give you a sense of what is true. Well, if this is outrageous, then maybe this thing that's semi-outrageous has more of an air of truth to it.
Well, you have the stories about Jean Harlow in the 30s showing up there with her third husband. She was under a huge cloud of suspicion. What happened there?
Jean Harlow was about 23 years old. She was on her third husband. She had been divorced from the teen husband she had wed, and then her second husband was killed by a gunshot wound that was declared a suicide. There was a mysterious note left by his side, and MGM's sort of fixers got to the crime scene before the Beverly Hills police, so there's always been a cloud of suspicion around that death. After she was widowed, Harlow started running around with a couple of married men, and the studio was keen to give her reputation a sort of bleaching, so they married her, in effect, to a cinematographer named Harold Rawson. And the two of them took two suites at Chateau Marmont and connected them. And the household staff quickly discovered that on nights when Mr. Rawson was in residence, they had to make a bed in each suite, that the married couple were not sharing a bed. And on nights when Rawson was not in residence, Jean Harlow was entertaining male guests in her portion of their rooms. So the marriage didn't last. Let's cut to the chase there.
Well, and then Rebel Without a Cause, by far one of my favorite movies of all times. And you have a scene in the book with Nicholas Ray, the director, Dennis Hopper, and a very, very young Natalie Wood. Stuff I never would have known just watching the movie, obviously, because that's fake. But what was going on there?
Well, Nick Ray moved into Chateau Marmont in the early 50s, and he stayed there 6 or 7 years. And he made some great films during that time, but, you know, he made his masterpiece, Rebel Without a Cause, from scratch there. And, of course, he had a teenage cast. It's set in a high school. And he auditioned actors and rehearsed them at his bungalow at Chateau Marmont. And among the people aspiring to a role was Natalie Wood. And Nick Ray was in his 40s, and he took Natalie Wood to bed. They were lovers. I even hesitate to use the word lovers because we're talking about a 16-year-old girl, and it's just literally criminal. Ray also took Sal Mineo, a 16-year-old star of the film, to bed. And what's shocking beyond those two facts is that people knew it at the time. Gore Vidal, in his diaries, wrote about Nick Ray obviously carrying on with these young people, and nobody said a word.
As you've written biographies of people before, how did this differ to write a biography of a place?
It was hard to find the narrative because, you know, you write about, you know, a mortal human being, and they're born, they live, and they die. There you go. You got your beginning, middle, and end. Buildings don't do that. In fact, this building at 90 years old, Chateau Marmont, is more famous, more physically luxurious, more celebrated, wealthier than it's ever been. So it took me a little while to crack the puzzle here, and what I settled on was writing about the owners, because each of the five important owners of the hotel over the 90 years imparted something, whether they built it or turned it into a hotel or added certain amenities and ways of thinking, you know, attitudes into the hotel, things like that. The current owner, who's owned it longer than anyone, Andre Balazs, has given it this incredible patina of old-time luxury, which back in the old times, the hotel didn't have. It was a cheap hotel in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You go in there now, and it looks like a beautiful hotel from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's a genius bit of prestidigitation that he's pulled off.
Your book literally just came out. It's already been optioned for an HBO series, and not just by Joe Nobody. We're talking John Krasinski and Aaron Sorkin. Sorkin doesn't touch anything that doesn't turn to gold. Krasinski is Jack Ryan. I mean, you can't beat that. What's that like to have this book optioned so early and to actually be, you know, going toward a production for HBO?
Well, you know, somebody got ahead of themselves on that reporting. It has been optioned by John Krasinski. Years ago, Krasinski and Aaron Sorkin were in a deal together to do something for HBO about Chateau Marmont. This is not that property. So today, Krasinski owns the rights, and he's in business not with HBO but with Paramount. And, you know, it's one of these things where if my phone rings, I look, and I'm hoping it's my agent with news. But if it's not, I still... Tom Hanks put it really well. He won two consecutive Oscars, and he was nominated again, and someone said, doesn't look like you're going to win. He says, hey, I've been invited to the best pancake breakfast in the world, and it doesn't matter if I win the prize, I still get to eat pancakes. and that's how I feel.
So apparently that report is like some of the legends surrounding Chateau Marmont didn't pan out.
Yeah, it has. It's truth mixed with confusion reported back as truth.
All right. Well, the book is Castle on Sunset, Life, Death, Love, Art, and Scandal at Hollywood Chateau Marmont. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. It's a nonfiction thriller. It's really a page-turner, and the stories in here are just so entertaining. Sean Levy, excellent work. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Oh, thanks so much for your interest.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Sunset Boulevard, twisting Boulevard, secretive and rich, a little scary.